Hello, everybody.
Hi, everybody. So, welcome to the last EQ Method Live of the week. I am here to start with an announcement. So, Emma and I have synced up with our friend Scott Britton, who is a very well-known CrossFit fully functional athlete. He's done the cover of Men's Health a couple times. He's a fucking badass. Like, his life story is shocking and incredibly inspiring. And he reached out to me a few months ago and said, "Hey, I know what you do. I know what the EQ method is. I follow you and Emma. And I just thought I should make you aware that we have big events every summer that we put on. They're fit strength and fitness events, but they are, as we said last time, all inclusive, not meaning you get free breakfast." Meaning you can be any shape, any size, any age, any fitness level, any strength level. It's teamwork. It's a team working together to have basically a fully functional fitness fun day out. And you can invite people to come down and watch and support. Like, they're big events and they happen all over the world, not just in the UK. They happen in America and Australia, everywhere in Europe. And in about, I mentioned this last time, in about 3 years, they've managed to raise about £6 million for various cancer charities. They have their own cancer charity as well. And he was like, "I just thought it'd be a really good thing for you guys to put to your clients, see if they want to come down. See if anybody wants to compete, and you can come and you can use it as like a client meetup thing." And I was like, "Yeah, fuck it. Let's see. If we get the numbers, if people want to do it, we'll do it." So there are four events this summer, three of which I can go to, one of which I can't, which is annoying. So the one I can't go to is the London one, but there you go. And that's
What?
yeah, it's the
And
same.
when's that?
It's the same week in September that you and I might not be here. I know.
Oh, that's annoying. But people
Honestly,
might want to go to that. Why are you not?
no, we don't have to go with you all, but we obviously, if we can
No,
make
but I mean, people might want to go to the other thing that we're going to.
no, they're happening on the same date.
Yeah, no, I know, but they might want to go there instead.
We'll see. Okay, so basically, there's one. So you work as a team, and every team has four people in it. And Scott's given us 25 teams, which basically means 25 teams. We could spread that across. We're not going to fill that, but it would be cool if we got four people who want to go to each event, because that's fun. Like, just why not? OCD brain. I'm like, yeah, that works. So the first one, and I will put this all on the page along with more info. I will start to drip feed it as we go because I don't want anyone to feel overwhelmed, like we talk about. So I'll just put up the bare bones of this first. The first one is on June 15th in Dublin. If anybody wants to do that, I'm free, I'm available, I can absolutely make that work. The second event is in Edinburgh on July 6th. Again, I'm free, I can definitely make that work.
We
The
should
third,
definitely go to Edinburgh.
I love Edinburgh, and everyone in Edinburgh's fit, and we all know I'm a dog on heat at the moment, so I'm going to Edinburgh.
Yeah.
I keep saying it to Scott. I'm like, "I the ratio of how many fit men to women are there?" He's like, "Lots, Chloe." I'm like, "Okay." So Edinburgh, July 6th. Manchester, again, 100% going to be there. That's my town. I'm a mank. Manchester, July 27th. And then London, September 14th. So it would be cool if we could get four people in Dublin, Edinburgh, Manchester, London who want to go down. Emma and I will come with you to some, not all of them. Like I said, I can come to three of the four, but we don't have to be there. And anyone else who just wants to come support Cam. I've got the workout sheet here so you understand what kind of workout it is. It's obviously exactly what you'd expect. So it's 5 minutes of work and you tag each other in and out as a team, with followed by 4 minutes of rest per kind of exercise that you're doing. So it's assault air bike, 5 minutes work, and like I say, tag each other in and out, 4 minutes rest, then deadlift, then assault rower, then burpees, then a run, and then
Wait,
you move
I'm
on.
sorry, 5 minutes of burpees.
No, you tag each other in and out. So you don't have to do the full
Oh,
5 minutes.
right. Okay, I was going to say, what, 5 minutes of just deadlifting? Right, okay,
No,
fine.
you tag, so yeah, you go until you basically hit failure and then you tag someone else in. But also, we would want you guys, this is about reps and time. It's not about load lifted. So we'd want you guys to go as light as you really could, A, to prevent any kind of injury, and B, so that you can actually do it and enjoy it. You're gonna bomb out pretty hard if you're hitting kind of heavy loads trying to do this. Don't do that. Make it as easy as possible. It's for charity, okay, guys? You're not getting scored, nothing like that's happening. Just it's for charity. Well, you are, but it's not important. Then a run, then air bike again, then a dumbbell snatch, then rower again, then sandbag over shoulder, and then it ends on a run. Now, all of this you can all do. Like I say, go light. A, we don't want any of you getting injured. And B, this is meant to be fun. This is not a real like hardcore CrossFit competition. This is meant to be fun. You're meant to be doing it, enjoying it with your mates, being like, fuck this, I'm out, tapping someone else in. And like, we just want it to be fun. And that's the point of it. It's for charity. It's to raise money for charity. Ain't nobody going there. Well, I'm sure there'll be some really annoying guys there. The guys that I'll be like, hi.
Oh, there'll be 100% people that have like trained their ass off for it, which is fine. Like each to their own. But you get
Yeah,
what I'm at the point. Like it's
you don't have
everyone.
to. So we've got Scott. Scott has sent me, and again, I will put this on the page, some like explanation videos of how it all works. He's also sent me like form videos of all the exercises just so you can see what they are and you can start to practice them. Like I said, for example, like with a snatch, just practice it with like a 2 kg dumbbell, get the movement down, and then challenge yourself because hopefully you guys will love it. Be like, well, now I'll try with a four. Now, but then stop when it starts to get ridiculous because well, unless you fall in love with CrossFit and then you're off the EC method and you're going somewhere else. And he's done me some form videos. He's also done me some like warm up and cool down videos. It's obviously quite important to like stretch and shit before you do anything like this. And also just some explanations about what the events are. I've looked at all of them. They look so much fun. Everybody, they're outside in the sun, people not competing are drinking, having fun. Everyone's cheering each other on. I don't know if any of you have gone to the London Marathon before, but the first time I went, I was shocked. And Gay Pride as well. I was shocked at how many people who
Gay
aren't
Pride, London Marathon.
same, same, an achievement, guys. So many people who aren't involved in the event who are there just shouting and screaming for everyone to do their best and how proud they are. And it's really life affirming. And it's for such a good cause. I'm sure so many of you have had your lives touched by cancer. I know that I have, and it's really going to be a fun thing to do. So I will upload all this on the page. I will drip feed as we go. I'm also meeting with Scott. When am I meeting with him? 2 weeks' time. He's going to take me through, walk me through all these exercises, and we're going to film that whole session as well for you guys. And yeah, we're just helping out a little bit, and it'll be fun. And that's that.
Good. And also by that point, I will have ready EC kit that you can get. And again, like we're getting this as like we're not going to make a markup on this. This is just like as cheap as we can possibly get it. Just we want more people wearing kit and people always ask for it. So that should be ready. I mean, it should have been ready last week, but hopefully like next week should be up.
Yeah, and Scott's gonna also give us like a whole EC area with like banners and the whole thing. Like we're super excited about it.
Good.
Hey, your turn. I thought you said you had something to read.
Yeah, no, I do. Okay.
Okay.
I'm not going to name this person because I can't see a reply from them yet, but I thought this would be better. It's quite a long post, and I thought it would be better to discuss on the live than on a post. And now I'm looking at it. I'm not really sure why, but I'm sure as I start reading, it makes sense to me. It says, I'm not entirely sure what I'm asking at this stage and where I need help. This is my second round, and I've built some great habits around increased steps, strength workouts, increased protein, and I feel I have, on the whole, followed the program pretty well, given a few illness days and a sore knee that is now just getting better. I listened to the old podcast about thyroid and menopause with interest, as this has plagued me now for the last 10 years. Today, I looked back at my app and basically, over the last 10 years, I have been between 72 and 78 kilograms. I've had a goal in my head to be about 70 kilograms. Well, actually, she says to be 70 kilograms and a healthy BMI for a decade, and I've not achieved it. I'm 5'4", I'm 52 years old. I weigh 75.8 kilograms. I'm on HRT and thyroxine at good levels now after years of trying to balance both. I'm on 1500, 1700 calories, four workouts a week, 10,000 steps, and I have seen changes in my body shape since January, but I also want to lose weight. Mentally, I think I need to lose weight to get the body that I am happy with, although I do feel strong and I don't dislike my body. I just want to get to the quote unquote healthy BMI zone. I also have a block that I can never achieve my goal, as I have tried for so long and I've not made it. I almost wouldn't mind if I got to my goal and was now above it, but at least I know I would have got there. I was there briefly before my wedding 15 years ago, and then I had kids, and then underactive thyroid and perimenopause and working from home. Is it possible that my body is just happy at a certain weight, or do I just need to get over it and knuckle down even more? How do I smash the history of the last 10 years? It's depressing seeing so much data. Sorry for a rambling post. Anyone else been here? Weight graph is below. Any help massively appreciated.
Okay, do you want to start off?
Yeah, so I thought it was just, I mean, there are kind of numerous things. And as I read it, I was like, okay, it does sound like you're holding on to this weight goal that might not really be particularly useful to you. And, you know, you are obviously making progress. You're feeling better. You're stronger. I would quite like to see progress photos, because I always think BMI needs like an air of common sense as well. And you're not miles away. You know, if you're sitting around 75 and a healthy BMI is 70, it could be that like actually you don't need to lose any more weight for health reasons. But then from a psychological perspective, like the other side of it is kind of like, if you've always had this goal and you want to achieve it, part of me is like, I mean, are you possible? Is it possible? Well, 100%, like you are completely capable of doing this. Will what's got you here get you there? No, you're going to have to change something, right? Which fundamentally means you're going to need to create a bigger deficit. So whether that's staying closer to the 1500 calories side of your target and maybe increasing your steps to 12,000, or, you know, some kind of combination of how can you be in a slightly bigger deficit here? Or even like, again, we kind of go into the nuance of this, but it might be that on paper, that would put you in quite a big deficit. But in reality, with inaccuracies coming in, like actually it's quite a moderate deficit, and that is still going to see you getting results. And I don't know, I think it depends on the individual. Like, are you happy to kind of just let go of this goal and be like, okay, well, I don't need to achieve it? Or do you want to achieve it? Because I know that sometimes, and it might not be like that rational, but when you've held on to something for 10 years, it's like, I just want to do it. And there's a, I think it was like Naval Ravikant or something. And the saying is something like, it's much easier to achieve a goal and then decide it's not worth it than to like have never achieved it.
Yeah.
He's in a much more like philosophical way than that, but he's normally talking about, in that instance, he's talking about millionaires, and like every millionaire is like, oh, you know, one, money is not that important, don't worry about it. And it's like, yeah, because you're a fucking millionaire, right? Of course it's not important when you're a millionaire, but sometimes you have to like achieve that goal to then see that it's not important.
Yeah,
I wonder if that's going to be the case for you. Like, you might get to 70 and be like, huh, I don't feel that different, and I'm actually happy sitting at 72.
Yeah. But
in your head, you'll be like, I've done it.
Yeah, I obviously always agree with everything I've said. I would like to see photos too. Because when you ask the question, is my body just happy here? It's like, if you are in an unhealthy body, no. It's the answer. Your body, if it did have its own consciousness, which it doesn't, would not be happy there. However, Emma's right. There can be some kind of murky areas around BMI. So it would be nice to see photos. Then you say, everything you've said, there's a solution for, and some of them you're actually already doing. So one, you say, is it the underactive thyroid? You're already on thyroxine. So box ticked. You can literally, that's it now. Like, push that off the cliff. It's not that. I work from home. Okay. So what you're saying here is that your activity is really low, right? That's what I'm guessing. So why don't you invest in your health, buy some kind of cardio equipment. And if you can't hit your steps every day, get up every hour. And if you're working from home, you don't need to worry about like the physical ramifications of this. Every hour, get up and do 10 minutes on a bike, or 10 minutes on an incline treadmill, or 10 minutes on a cross trainer. Do something. Let's work to get your activity levels up. Actually, you'll probably find that this also really improves your quality of work and quantity of work, and how you feel as you work and how you feel when you're not working. This is going to really help. This will increase your deficit, but it's also just a really healthy thing to do. And there was something else she said as well. I mean, after having kids, I mean, I can show you some amazing athletes who've had 1, 2, 3 kids who are, in terms of their, not only their like strength and fitness and health, in incredible shape, but also in terms of their aesthetic. It is possible, but that's their job and it's not your job. So it's easier for them, but it just goes to show, if you were to prioritize it, it is absolutely possible. And we also had a really similar post like this from Donna the other day. You know what, guys, I get it. I think sometimes you're obviously in this kind of lifestyle that you're in and you're comfortable and it's going and you're going with it. But as always, there's this like sideline goal that's kind of going with you where you're like, but I also want to do that. But I also want to do that. But you're doing this when you should be doing that if you want that. And I get it. You start to basically think of it as unachievable, which you certainly have hearing that post. And you don't really do the things that you absolutely can do and need to do it, because you're like, well, it's never happened. It's never happened. It'll never happen. I'll never. So of course you're not going to level up. Of course it's not going to, because you're just like, you're basically given into it. You've lost to it mentally. And I said this before, you know, I've gone through a hard time in the last few months, and that was me. That was absolutely, I was like, I'll probably never get back in shape again. Like even though I was in shape after having Bodhi, I was in very good shape in the summer. I was like, I mean, aesthetic shape, I'll probably never get back in like physique shape again, because it just felt so impossible. It just felt like a life that I would never, ever, ever live again. And I worked really, really hard to slowly, slowly build the building blocks. And a couple of weeks ago, I'm living it again. I'm doing it again. And I'm fucking loving it. And I'm so much happier. I'm so much more self-confident. And I think that sometimes you really just have to shake things up. You really, and I said this last time, when I use the word force, I really mean it. You have to force yourself. You have to push yourself. You have to bully yourself into shaking things up to get there, and then new habits are formed. You're living a new way of life that's in line with your goals. So those are all my thoughts on everything you said, really.
Yeah, I think just to add to that, like, you need to do one of two things. You need to basically need to be like, right, okay, what I'm doing now isn't enough.
Yeah,
if that's where you've been for 10 years, right? So are you willing to do more to get to that goal, or are you like, it's not worth it to me? And there's nothing wrong with saying it's not worth it to me, but fucking don't go with the goal, because there's nothing more fatiguing than holding on to this goal that you're not willing to do the work to get to. So either accept that it's going to take that amount of work and do it, or be like, okay, I'm going to let go of that goal because it isn't worth it to me. And I'm going to, you know, like, obviously continue all doing all the things that you're already doing that are making you feel better and you're stronger and you're, you know, like, it sounds like you're already on the right tracks. But realistically, if you want to reach that 70 kilogram goal, or healthy BMI bracket goal, then for sure, like, you are going to have to do more.
Yeah, I love that.
With saying, I don't want to do it.
Oh, 100%. 100%. I reposted something Scott posted on this today. Like, there's, if you have a goal to get, and this is just an example of what Emma's saying, to get like shredded abs, and I've had so like hundreds of clients say this, like too many to count. So many clients say, I want to get shredded, I want to get abs, I want to get veins. And I'm like, okay, well, let's get some performance goals en route as well. They absolutely are en route to that goal, smashing it, doing really well, and then decide, actually, I don't really care about that. I'd much rather focus on this. And this is really impressive when people do this. A, to be brave enough to say, not only to themselves, but to other people, like, actually, I've changed my mind. Actually, I changed my goal. I don't know why we are so wedded to, like, I don't know, sticking something out that you, when you found something that you'd rather be doing elsewhere, like, that's wicked and it's cool.
I do think, broadly in life, one of the hardest things is knowing whether to try harder or give up.
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah. And you learn this when you have a baby. It's like when you are responsible for someone else's life, every question is, do I need to do? And it's really interesting. It's really odd, but I do completely agree. But being like, actually, no, it's not important to me. There's nothing wrong with that. That's fine. I think also I see this reflected. I get a lot of questions from women who want to leave their husbands. Like, I would say every day I get at least 3 or 4. And who are really struggling. And a lot of the time it's like, I'm just embarrassed to like walk away. Like, I'm embarrassed to tell people like I don't. And I'm like, why? You've got one option of a life over here that's going to make you really happy, and one option of a life here that's going to make you really unhappy. But at least you're not embarrassed to tell people that you want to be happy. Just come on. So there's nothing wrong with changing your mind. That applies to all of you. And Emma's right.
That's what stops so many people, is what will other people think?
What will other people think? Can you imagine if I live my life by what will other people think? I think the Daily Mail put an article about me on the other day. I've been papped just going for lunch with Bodhi. And like, all the comments under it were just talking about how obscenely big my forehead is. And look at me today. I'm like, there's my forehead. Like, Fuck it. It's me. It's
That's
you. It's
so
your
funny. Someone asked me something on that on my story yesterday. I was like, only cool people have big foreheads, don't
only
worry.
cool people. It means they've got really big friends. But ultimately, like, you are gonna ruin your life. And my dad said this to me before. So when we grew up, my parents did not have like any money and they really struggled. They had a lot of anxiety around everything, their mortgage, their bills, everything. And I remember it. I vividly remember it. And I remember when they started making money and we moved to London. And this was when I was about 9 or 10. And I remember my dad paying for the Christmas shopping one year. No, I was about 10 or 11, paying for the Christmas shopping one year. And he looked at me and he was like, it's such a relief to have money. And he turned around and he paid. He turned back around to me and he said, you know what, Chloe? If I'd have listened to everything that everybody had to say about me, I would never be here right now. And that stuck with me forever. And I want that to stick with all of you. Do it for you. Fuck what anybody else thinks. And don't be scared to change your mind at all, ever.
Love. Back to a very boring point, but one I wanted to make about that post is what you're kind of alluding to with, like, is my body just happy here? Is a bit like set point theory, which is this theory
Yeah.
that you settle at a certain range. And that is true. It's more from a practical standpoint or like a behavioral standpoint than it is a physiological standpoint. If otherwise, like, no one would ever starve, right? There was just this point at which your body would never lose more body fat. Like, you know, that unfortunately, that doesn't happen, right? But what does happen is kind of the saying of like, what got you here won't get you there. It's often like you need to work that bit harder, right? And at that point, for a lot of people, and this depends, you know, like there isn't a specific body fat at which this kind of kicks in. It's different for different people, but generally, like, set point is when you kind of find that hunger ramps up, your activity levels kind of spontaneously reduce or subconsciously reduce, and it becomes harder to continue to create that deficit. For some people, that happens at higher body fat percentage than others, but that's generally where people kind of associate most with this, like, oh, I'm trying really hard, I'm not getting this result anymore. It's like you're gonna have to do something different to get over that, like, barrier.
Yeah, and getting that piece of cardio equipment would be one. You know, looking at your, did she talk about in the post, sorry, it's quite long. Does she talk about in the post her dietary hurdles? Did she specify how she is with her diet?
She was saying like 1500 to 1700 calories. Didn't sound like she was struggling with that.
Well, that's another question. You know, maybe we need to look at the diet in terms of whether, like, accuracy, but also adherence and consistency potentially. Yeah.
Okay. Starting with that dreaded sentence, I know you can't spot reduce fat, but can you train to increase muscle, which would change the look? I.e., I have no waist and pretty lean, but would training lower / core / back make it look like I have one? Hope that makes sense. P.S. Did the grad legs yesterday and still struggling walking. Thanks. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and more so, I think probably less waist and more lats.
I would say, no, don't do any core work, to be honest. I would say, yeah, you want to do your lower body, and then you want that triangle shape to create the illusion of having a smaller waist. So that is back. That is, as Emma said, a lot of lats. Also shoulders, just make you go like that. And that is physique. That is bodybuilding.
Yeah.
And it works.
Bullshit. Okay, we're up to date.
Is that it? Is that all we had? Perfect.
Oh, just people saying hi. No questions.
Oh, I'm so poorly. I met a woman in the gym and she was like, oh, it's called the 100-day cough. Like, everyone who's got kids has got it and it just doesn't go. And I was like, cool, that's good to know. Okay. Susie. Hi, Clemmer. Emma, I think this question will work better on a live. Oh, wait, is this what we just did? Yeah, this is.
Oh, okay. Oh, great.
Oh, fab. Julie. Hi, Clemmer. Do you have knowledge or tips around calorie deficits affecting your sleep? I'm doing really well on the program in all areas, but food because of this. My stats are 5'4", 66 kgs, and 49 years old. 5'4", 66 kgs, 49 years old, 10 to 12,000 steps daily. 3 gym workouts and trying for 1600 calories with 100 grams of protein. Yeah, that all looks good. I have loads more energy and I feel way more productive during the day. I have great morning and nighttime routines. I exercise in the morning and my shifts are usually done by 9 p.m. while I relax in front of the TV before bed around 10 or 11, but I just can't fall asleep. I feel wired. I've noticed this before when I've drastically dropped my calories, but I thought I was being sensible on 1600 calories. I lie there tossing and turning until I eventually go downstairs, eat some toast or biscuits. Then I come back up at 1 and then I can go to sleep just fine. Not getting enough sleep can really affect my well-being the next day. I am frustrated as I feel like my body just doesn't want me to lose weight. I'm in the overweight BMI bracket and I'm not a bit muscular. Please help me. Also, I am on HRT and I limit my caffeine to 2 cups before lunch. I would cut it out completely fast. And great that you're on HRT. It can't be either of these reasons that it will only happen when I then cut calories. Thanks for your support. I'm really enjoying the lifestyle of this. Okay, so a couple things on this. I would cut the caffeine completely. Like, why? If you're up, you say that you have loads of energy in the day and you're feeling really wired at night, just cut it and let's just see if that has maybe a little bit of an impact. I like you, I doubt it, but hey, let's do it all. Your activity, so for your height and weight, 5'4", 66 kg, 49 years old, on HRT, 10 to 12 sets a day, 3 gym workouts a week, on 1600 calories. Absolutely none of these numbers would make me think that any kind of hunger or anything like that is what's keeping you up at night. My guess is, and this doesn't make it any less valid, but my guess would be that this is psychological. And you might have found, I think, more if increasing activity I have seen have an impact on clients' energy levels and therefore impact their sleep. I've seen that. So if you've really jumped up your activity, it can be doing that. Or it can work the other way, funnily enough. But like I say, everything looks pretty fucking good here in terms of your stats. I think it's psychological. I also think it could be to do with, let's cut the caffeine. I also think it could be to do with your sleep cycle. You're finishing your shift at 9 p.m. I'd like to know what you do for work, because you might be in like a fight, flight, freeze mode. Like your stress hormones, cortisol and adrenaline might be flying around. That will really impact your sleep. And then you're watching TV before bed. I'd be interested also to know what you're watching, and maybe it was possible that you could read a book instead of watch TV, because that will have an impact on your ability to go to sleep. So no caffeine. Can you read a book instead of watch TV? Is it maybe your stress hormones? You say that it only ever happens when you drop calories, and that makes me think that it's psychological in a nutshell. Emma, what do you think?
The only thing I would add is I'd quite like to know your meal timings around like the last few meals. And again, this can work either way. Some people genuinely are quite hungry when they go to bed and maybe should eat a little bit closer to bed.
Very good point.
Technically, people tend to sleep better when they eat further away from going to bed. So like you can kind of play in this, because I've definitely had clients with a very similar problem, and actually having a high carb snack before bed really helped them. But equally, like all of the research will show that if you stop eating within like 3 hours before going to bed, it's actually better for sleep quality. Now you need to test that out for yourself and see what's going to work best for you, because it doesn't really matter what the research says, it really matters what works for you. And like as an example of this, the research would say that there shouldn't be any problem with you not sleeping, right? But you're not sleeping, so we need to figure out what needs to change. That would be my tip. And then I just think about, like, you know, if you are going down at 1 a.m. and having a snack, then what are you eating and what does that look like, and yeah, how do we get it?
Excellent point on the meal timing thing. And we have talked about this before, all the science would say that you shouldn't eat too close to bed and you'll sleep better. However, especially when I'm very lean, oh my God, I have to eat like literally 10 minutes before bed. I have to finish my meal and then that's the only way I can sleep. But like I say, because of your stats, I don't think that's what's happening with you. It doesn't look like that's what's happening with you. But it is true. Like everybody is different. And again, another thing, if both psychologically and also in terms of your circadian rhythm, you've now got into the rhythm of I'm not going to be able to sleep, and then I'm going to go downstairs at 1 o'clock in the morning and have some food. That is very physiologically ingrained now in your habits, in your evenings. So we really need to work hard to break that. But I do love Emma's point about the meal timing thing. That's really important to find out.
Okay, following on about curvy physique, would I avoid a full body workout? And how can I help my post-breastfeeding breast to be more perked?
Oh, babe, come on now. I mean, it's just not happening, is it? We've lost them to
great
our kids.
Bra. Like, have a great bra. That's probably the best thing.
I wouldn't do full bodies, no. I mean, it doesn't really matter, if I'm going to be totally honest with you, because you're not a fucking physique athlete getting up on stage, posing in a bikini, getting judged on your shape. You're not. You're a normal, you know, everyday person. So, but look, if we're going to talk optimal, I wouldn't. I'd do body part splits. I train like a bodybuilder, and I train to get that shape that you want, which is also really fun, by the way, when you have a really specific goal that you're doing in the gym. In terms of how you train and also in terms of the results that you really want. Like, so no, I would probably do a lower body days, back and chest days and upper body days. Like, I would, yeah, I do body part splits, which I've got in my workouts on the app.
Okay, Susie, thanks, Clemma. Whoa, so, okay, so this is the post that we started with.
Right.
I posted photos on the original post and can definitely improve there. And since round one, I've increased my movement from 3,000 steps today per day up to 10,000. Wow, that's incredible. I have a Peloton at home for extra cardio. Think food is on track, but I will keep checking. Going to re-listen to all those great thoughts on my goals and that side and digest. Okay, great.
Yeah, I can't see the original post, but I think that's because you put it on the questions and then took it down, I'm guessing. Okay, anything else?
Tag us again, because I was trying to find it before this to make sure that you were okay with us reading it out, and I couldn't find it.
I think she's taken it down and put it on the questions instead, which is very courteous of you. Thank you.
Too courteous that we didn't even think about it.
No. I love it when clients do stuff like that. Just tiny little things that they think is going to make it easier for you. It's like, go on. Okay. Okay, Marie. Hey, Emma and Chloe. Every time I read Emma and Chloe, I'm like, it's Clemma. Hi, Emma and Chloe. Have you got any tips for FOGO, fear of going out? Oh my God, this is what I have. It's the opposite of FOMO. I'm like, no, I'm happy missing out. York.
No, the opposite of FOMO is JOMO. Joy what? Of missing out.
Joy, yes, that's what I have. I literally getting the opposite of FOMO, where I get myself all worried about weekend plans, throwing me off. Oh, okay, no, I don't get this. Sorry, I'm just antisocial. Okay.
No, I'm not worried about going off track. I just don't want to come.
You might have turned times my friends like, are you going to cancel though? I'm like, maybe we'll find out when the day comes. Literally getting the opposite of FOMO, I get myself all worried about my weekend plans, throwing me off course with my fat loss. I'm a bit giggly now. I have a weekend away in 2 weeks, and then my first ever weekend away from my toddler with my husband the weekend after. Oh, that'll be lovely. I'm excited for the social events, but I get so stressed out about eating out and drinking out and it negatively impacting my progress. I know that goes against everything that you guys teach us here, because it's about making long-term sustainable changes and being able to live our lives while working on fat loss. Eat help. Okay, you need to go the fuck out, and you've got two options here. You can either, if it's a meal, right, you've got two options. You can either choose your indulgences, and this is how you get long-term results, and you keep, like, this is not going to get in the way of your results, and Emma and I will talk you through why in a second. Choose your indulgences. So have a bowl of pasta, and then avoid the alcohol or avoid the dessert, for example, creamy pasta. There's nothing wrong with pasta. I feel like I've been demonizing pasta lately, but it adds up if it's creamy and cheesy and protein and everything. So this is an example, but then you omit the alcohol or the dessert. Or if you're like me and you love a glass of wine, be like, I'm going to order the chicken salad and I'm going to have a glass or two of wine. And you basically choose your indulgences, and it's up to you whether or not you track if you do that. But another nice trick, I think, is to have what we call an untracked meal. So for that one meal, and it's not the full day, it's that one meal, you just put your phone down, you put in what you would normally have instead, right? So you basically lie to MyFitnessPal and allow yourself to lie to yourself. And then as soon as that meal that you've logged, that's what you would normally have, but it's not what you're actually eating, is over, you get right back on track. And that's it. And you don't need to look at any damage or any numbers. You don't need to figure it out. You just enjoy it. And then you get on with your fat loss journey. And the reason why this isn't going to impact your goal is because you need to be in a deficit every day. At the end of the week, at the end of the month, at the end of the, however you want to quantify it, you need to be in a calorie deficit on more days than you are either at, well, let's put surplus as one side, on more days than you are at a maintenance level. So if you are dieting 5 days a week, and on 2 days you have effectively in your deficit, and on 2 days you have slight calorie overages, you're still going to lose weight at the end of the week, at the end of the month. The only difference is that it might slow down a little bit because you're not going to be in as super deficit. But who the fuck cares when you got to go out and have a date night, or you got to go and have your first weekend away with your husband without your child, which is lovely. And I'm so proud of you guys as a couple for making that happen. Who cares if it's like half a pound slower a week or a fortnight? Who cares? Like, whatever, you've got balance. And that's why it won't affect it. So think of me and Emma and I kicking you out the door. Emma.
Yeah, I mean, I'll just reiterate some points, but I also did some quick maths while Chloe was talking there. If you have 3 meals a day for 30 days over the month, and 4 of those meals, which is kind of what you described, like, hey, you're going away, I can't remember, like, is it just one night out? But anyway, and then you're going away with your partner, which will probably be a few meals that, you know, might be slightly bigger calories. But if you like go for brunch, which is probably well within your calories, and then you go for dinner, which might be a little bit over, and you have a glass of wine. Like, even if you had 4 meals over the month where you went over, it's 4 out of 84. Yeah. Like, it is not going to make a big difference, especially if you get right back on track. It's never the meal out. Like, it is always your response to it.
Yeah.
And then weighing yourself the next day and be like, oh, I've ruined everything, may as well continue to overeat, or massively over restrict and then end up overindulging and feeling crap about yourself. Like, and then I guess bigger picture, this is your life. Like, yeah. You don't get in great shape and you don't look after your health and go to the gym and eat well and fuel yourself to then hide away and avoid social occasions. Like,
yeah,
probably initially we're like, do you know what? I'd really like to be able to wear like an amazing dress and feel great in it. And now people get so fixated on quote unquote results and fat loss and what the scale says that they're like, I'd actually rather avoid wearing that dress that I now look and feel amazing in, to make sure that I sucked my calories that day. Like, when you take like bigger picture perspective, or even like, I always like thinking of myself when I'm old and looking back, like, you will 100% regret not enjoying that weekend with your husband or not going out with your mates. I don't know, whatever it is, like, memories are so important and you don't want to ruin that by thinking about the exact calories and everything. And the truth is, it just won't matter. Unless you have the wildest social life where you're like, I go out for a meal 5 times a week. Like, okay, cool. You're going to have to be. And even then it's possible. You just need to be a lot stricter and probably not, you know, eat full portions. But you can still eat less. Like, you could still be in incredible shape and eat out every single night. Would it be harder? Yeah. Is it possible? Absolutely.
I nearly made a really inappropriate joke, but I won't make it. I was going to say, Emma, you just said something that I wanted to touch on, which I really liked. Gone out of my head now. Okay, sorry. That was helpful. Right. Anything on the live?
No, we're good. I'm so tired today. I don't know why.
I'm so hot today.
It's quite nice here as well, actually.
It is nice. Apparently it's going to be really nice this weekend.
Mm.
My brother's coming back from Cornwall early, like 3 days early, because he said the weather there's just like absolutely depressing as F-U-C-K. And he's like, he's just there with my nephew and he said it like won't stop raining and it's so foggy. And he's like, I think he's getting a bit depressed. I'm like, come home.
Yeah, it's not fun. Like, places like that are amazing when it's sunny, but it's real not fun when it's not.
And also I think like just being alone with your kid, like my brother is a social being. Like, I
actually,
like
when it's raining, it's like, what do we do?
Yeah, that's what he means. So he was like, I feel bad. Like, I was like, fuck it, Jack. You're having a shit time. Come home. Let's have fun in London. A Londres, London. Okay. Tracy. Hi, ladies. It's my second round of the EC method. My first is in July. I joined initially because at 53, my weight was slowly creeping up and I was finding myself over-restricting and then berating myself when I overate, and it became a vicious cycle and I generally felt very awful about myself. Oh, we've all been there, Tracy. For the first time in a long time, I find myself being so much kinder to myself, and that in itself is a massive win. Thank you so much, Chloe and Emma and the amazing EC community. My question is, how do I now push through to lose the last few kgs? I really, really want it. I have a couple of big family events coming up this summer and I want to look and feel amazing and not feel disappointed in myself. I also want to be fit and healthy long term. I keep going over my calories on a daily basis and I'm clearly not in a deficit right now, but because I feel so much better mentally, I don't feel that motivated in getting the task done, even though I really want to reach my goal weight by mid-July, which I know is possible. Maybe deep down, I don't think I can achieve my goal. Please, can I have some coaching on this? I think I might need some tough love. Thank you. Okay, well, one thing that we've said that which really rings true here is, do you really want to achieve your goal when you're saying that you want this thing to happen in July and you're not doing it, but you feel really happy about yourself and your life? Is it really that big of a deal? Is it really that important that you get there if you're so happy where you are now and you're fine? So I would reflect on that. The second thing is, like, of course you can, of course you go. If you're like, no, I really, really, really do. I'm just in a pattern of doing this. I'm just in a habit of doing it, but I really, really want the goal. Okay. We need to come up with a plan of a couple of options for breakfast, lunch, dinner, either a fourth meal or 1 to 2 snacks, whatever you want, that see you eating, let's say every 3 hours. So you're nice and satiated, that all hit, you know, a certain amount of calories so that you're in your calories every day, that see you, like I say, eating regularly, enjoying your food, nailing your calories. And don't forget, not only in terms of, you know, the nutrition that we talk about, but also mental, kind of mental nutrition. So if you know that you are like to have chocolate in your diet and that's the thing that you overeat and that was your cycle thing, have some chocolate in your daily food intake as a snack, right? And let's get to it. Let's get it. Like, and you know, July's coming. So you want to fucking get in banging aesthetic shape. Let's go. Let's do it. I'm doing it with you. Like, so we're in it together, babes. Emma?
Yeah, I think not really that much to add apart from the point you made about, like, oh, maybe I just don't believe I can do it. I think some people hear this from, like, other people, like, oh, you need to believe that you can reach your goal before you do. And honestly, I think it's a form of procrastination for most people of, like, oh, I don't believe it, so I'll never be able to do it. You don't need to believe it. You need to believe that you can do exactly what Chloe just said, set yourself some goals, set yourself some actionable behaviors that you can do this week that you know is going to get you closer to that goal. Do you believe that you can do those? That's all you need to believe, and then action them. And if you don't even believe that, then do it. And then, you know, take in that belief because you have just done it, you know, like, believe because you've created the evidence for yourself that you can do it. It's like when we have clients who are like, I've got 100 pounds to lose and I don't even know if I could do that. Cool. You know, that you don't need to believe that. You need to believe that you can lose the next 2 pounds. And then once you've done that, can you lose the next two? Okay, cool. Like, you don't need to see that far ahead. And it can be so overwhelming. Yeah. Like, if I don't know, like the first day of uni, someone was like, you've got 4 years of this. Like, do you believe you could do this every single day? You'd be like, oh my God, for 4 years, I don't know. Like, that seems like a lot. Whereas it's like, okay, you just go, you know.
One day at a time.
I don't think I ever thought past the next week. Like, don't overwhelm yourself with that. Yeah. But I also agree that it's probably a good time for everyone to kind of reflect on the goals that they're holding. And if they want the goal enough to put in the effort to get there, they do, knuckle down and do it. And if you don't, let go of that goal. Like, it is fine to change the goal because it's not worth it for you anymore.
I want to talk about your, you know, mental narrative and how it's everything is dependent on that. Everything is dependent on what you tell yourself. So James has been away for a couple. I always bring it back to myself, but it's because when I can relate to something, I'm really self-involved. And B, when I can relate to something, I'm like, oh yeah, no, I've just had to do this. And I want to tell you insight onto how I've done it. And it might not be the same for you, but hopefully it'll get your wheels turning and you'll start to think a bit differently. So I was like, well, fuck, I've got so much I need to get in shape for in the next few months. And I was like, just like the days were just going and I just wasn't taking good enough care of myself, you know, in any way. And I was like, fuck it. And I wanted to change. And I wasn't doing anything. And then suddenly it hit me. It was like, oh God, I actually like have very little time left now to do what I want to do by the time I want to do it. Fuck. So first it was fear. But now, so James has been away for like a couple of weeks, Hong Kong, Sydney, doing whatever James does, wherever James does it. I'm here, ill, solo parenting with Bodhi with a shit ton of work on at the moment. Like I'm busy at the moment, right? And every morning I get up and all I want, and Bodhi comes into bed with me and then, you know, like later I'll give her to the nanny and all I want to do is go back to sleep. Like I'm tired. I'm like, I just want to go back to sleep. And when you're self-employed, that is an option. I'm like, I just want to go back to sleep. And then I have this little fucking voice in my head, this little bitch in my head who's like, if you want that, time is money, bitch. Get in the fucking shower, get your gym kit on, go to the gym, sit down and do your fucking check-ins. Like, come on. And I don't want to, like, lazy me is like, okay, like teenager being chaperoned into the shower, but that is my voice pushing me to go. And you need to change your mental narrative. I would not have got one day in, I wouldn't have got one morning in if I didn't have that voice in my head. You've got to be, we used to talk about this a lot. I don't know why we stopped. You've got to parent yourself. If you want it, don't just sloppy teenager around your life not doing it. Be your own parent in your head going, oi, you fucking want it, get up and go do it and push. And I honestly think without that, I wouldn't have got even half a day in. So you know, you need that bitch. And she doesn't need to be there all day, by the way. Just certain points she'll come in. So yeah.
The parent analogy is so good because that bitch like wants the best for you. Like you told me that you had this goal. You know that you have to do this to get there. So do it. And like it is tough love, but like tough love is like compassionate, you know?
Love.
It's like, you know that you're gonna feel worse in an hour if you go back to bed. You wake up in an hour and you're like, shit, now I'm really behind and I've not done all this stuff and I'm not gonna have time to do that. So it's like you're being, your future self will be grateful for the decisions that you've made.
Absolutely. It's important. And like I say, it doesn't always have to be, you don't always have to be bullying yourself into doing the things you know that you should be doing. Like once I'm fucking out the shower and in my gym kit, I'm done. It's automatic for me. I'm fine. But you do sometimes need to be that for yourself. You need to be that pushy person in your life. And we're
Yeah,
done with the
a lot of people
question.
are like, as if that's a negative, but it doesn't have to come from a negative place. Like Rebecca's just put here, is it like having Emma on your shoulder telling you that you can't get results from the work that you haven't done? And it's like, yeah, but like I tell myself that all the time as encouragement. I'm not like berating myself into doing stuff. It's like, okay, you've got these big ambitions, level up to them. Like it's not going to happen by accident. So go and do the work. And then that's kind of exciting. And I think it's like leaning into hard work. And, we talk a lot about not being average. It's like, yeah, well, you could just kind of regress to the mean and like do what everyone else is doing and kind of just go along with life and what's easy. Or if you've got these goals and you don't want that and you want more from life, then you'll have to put in more work and it is harder. Like, and you, everyone does have a lot of stuff to balance. But if that's what you want, then for sure, you'll have to put in more work.
100%. There's nothing else on the question to post.
Great. Okay, Rebecca's just saying that's in my ear constantly too. It's a change, it's changed my whole mindset. Love it.
It really all it all starts up here. So people like, you know, we give you practical coaching advice like calories and meal timing and all that stuff. But whether or not you actually execute it and actually also enjoy it, it's all up here, all of it. So be aware of that.
Oh, 100%. I mean, I think I was maybe like 3 or 4 years into coaching when I was like, shit, this isn't about diet and exercise. This is about behavior change and how you think about stuff and how you talk to yourself and how you motivate yourself and like the standards that you hold of yourself. That all that side is way more important. And it's very hard like for us to do that in a concise way. Like it's really us in your ears consistently, twice a week doing lives, doing posts, like reminding you again and again, because that's how your mindset changes. You're not going to read one thing and be like, bam. It's
Oh,
not,
yeah.
here's your calorie target. Cool. Here's your mindset change. Cool. Like, that would be great, but it's not how it works. It's hearing different people's examples and different people's experiences and like our own experiences and then things that we've learned or things from psychology or behavior change and thinking about these things and questioning yourself. Like, that's how you change your mindset.
Absolutely. And I always get this message. I'm sure Emma does too. Like, Chloe, I wish that you could come live with me and walk around slapping all the bad food out of my hand. It's like, you go live with you and walk around slapping the bad food out of your hand. You, if you're like thinking in your head, all I need is someone here to tell me, no, don't do that. You tell yourself, no, don't do that. And that's the only way it's ever going to work. Even if I did live with you, trust me, if you wanted to sneak down at 1 o'clock in the morning and have toast and biscuits, you would. Like, I can't stop you doing that. You have to be like, no, Caroline, you said no. The answer is no. Be mean to yourself, because again, you do need that sometimes. You know, you really do. This Ozempic thing's also got me really thinking of, like, I mean, that's a whole other thing that maybe we should talk about another time, but it's all very interesting. I find the psychology of everything very interesting.
In what way?
So obviously we know that it's a GLP-1 inhibitor and it obviously quashes your feelings of hunger. But it is interesting how many people feel like, and we see this all the time, there are so many psychological hurdles when it comes to dieting. And in a way, when you take you changing your behaviors and everything being so dependent on your behaviors out of the equation, and you give someone a weight loss drug where they literally just inject themselves and that's it, they don't want to eat, that all those hurdles kind of disappear. And we see this a lot. We see people who have enough body fat on them, who are on enough calories, who are doing minimal effective dose workouts and steps, being like, I just feel like this. And it's like, it's likely psychological. It's likely that you don't. And we talk about this in terms of being a vegan as well. Vegans don't sit there and kind of in anguish that they can't have the chicken. The answer is no, they've chosen to be a vegan. It's that simple. I just sometimes find it funny when you allow that gate to open versus, like I say, veganism or Ozempic. It's complicated because it's a drug, it's an appetite suppressing drug. And I know that. But when you take those hurdles out of it, like, oh, but what about this? And what about this? And what if I feel like that? And oh, I'm that kind of person. When you take all of that door of kind of self-debate out of it, it's pretty fucking straightforward what you can do. You know, does that make sense? I know it's complicated with the Ozempic thing, but...
What has surprised me somewhat is the research around people who struggle with binge eating in Ozempic, and that
you talked about this last time.
That it actually does seem to, and again, not for everyone, but it does seem to work. Which, and I think it's probably more because you feel so unwell if you overeat. Like, there's that immediate negative reinforcement. But yeah, like, I mean, there's people who have gastric bands and then overeat them because, or like, out eat them because, you know, they weren't overeating because they were hungry. They were overeating because they were emotional, or, you know, that's how they like regulate their feelings.
What I'm trying to say is that when it's the psychology aspect of it, we take that away and you make it a non-negotiable. And I, you know, even I think just saying, I wonder if they did any like placebo Ozempic trials or anything like
100%.
That.
Where, it would never got to trial without randomized.
Yeah, they would have had to. Yeah, exactly. They would have had to. And I would love to see that, because I just think even just telling yourself, like, I'm okay on this diet, you're going to be okay on the diet. Like, it's that simple. It really is so much about how you talk to yourself up top, guys. And you do have to parent yourself if you want something in any context.
Oh, there's so much research on this. Like, all of the studies that I got really obsessed with, that anyone wants to read about this, read The Expectation Effect. But like, giving people double the calories but saying it was less, like, they have the same hunger response, you know, it's mad. Like, so much of what we think is like physiological. That's why a lot of the time when clients come to us and they're like, I'm on what we, you know, what we would deem as sensible calories, or they think they're on low calories but they're not, and so much of it's psychological. If you think that you've had a diet drink, you'll be more hungry, even if it wasn't a diet drink, even if the calories were matched. So, you know, it's the labeling, all of it, the psychology of it is so interesting. And I do think there's a lot to be said for, like, take away that excuse. This is why I always say committing to something 100% is easier than committing to something 98%. That 2% is you all day arguing in your head of, but you could stay in bed, then you could maybe train later, or you could just do it tomorrow, or do you really want to do it? Or, like, you know, like, even especially with food choices, like, this is why flexible dieting is too flexible for a lot of people, because they've not made a plan. So every lunchtime they're like, huh, maybe I'll have a little bit more now and then a little bit less later. And then they do have a little bit more and a little bit more later. And there's the flexibility. And then they're like, oh, tomorrow I'll just have 800 calories. And then it's like, you know, it doesn't work, right? You need some structure. You need some discipline. and taking decisions away by planning and then sticking to that plan is one of the best things you can do.
Absolutely. And the quicker you do it, the quicker it's fun. Like I say, the sooner that you're like, bitch, get up and get in the shower, the sooner that that it's over. That debate is like that anguish. I'm not standing in the shower. Like, maybe now I'll get out of the shower soaking wet, get back in my pajamas and get back in bed. It's done. It's over. The decision's been made. And it's the same. You're in the gym. Obviously, even if I only do 10 minutes of something on a cardio machine, I'm going to go and do something. I'm here now. Push yourself that first bit. And then, like, we always say this about the ball. Push the ball, the ball will roll. Push the ball will roll. And also make it easier for yourself, you know. Same thing with food choices. Okay, fine, you know, you really want the this. Well, okay, you also really want the goal. So instead have the that. And if you still really want this, the this at the end of the week, then you can do it. And, you know, we don't want you guys to over-restrict. We don't want you guys to be mean to your, well, I am telling you quite literally to be mean to yourselves. But we just want you to take control of your behaviors and making sure that they align with what you want, what will make you happy, which are your actions. So, I mean, your goals. So, yeah.
Yeah, and I don't think it's being mean to yourself. Like, if anything, it's being nice to yourself. It's just like a longer term niceness, right? And it's like saying no. This is such a good frame as well. Saying no to that pudding isn't saying, just, you know, it's not just a negative thing. It's like that's saying yes to your goal. That's yeah. saying yes to ending today closer to your goal, which is what you said you wanted, right? That's the kindest thing you can do to yourself. Like, that is self-care, you know, like, who's going to be great? Like,
and get excited about getting there. Get excited about that. I mean, I think, yeah, get excited about the fact that that is going to happen. Emma and I have talked about this before. The first time we really achieved like our physique goal, I remember the first time I looked in the mirror, I've still got photos of it on my phone, and I was like, I actually did it. Like, I actually look completely different. And it was, you know, I'd never be that extreme again. I'd never go that far again. But it was cold, hard evidence right in front of my very present eyes. I did what I wanted to do and it fucking worked. So get excited about that. That you're putting in the work now, but there's going to come a day where you're like, holy shit, I'm here. That day is going to come if you keep going and you don't give up. And that feeling is, I would say, and I'm sure Emma will agree, one of the best feelings you'll ever have in your life, where you're like, oh God, I did it. Wow, it's incredible. And yeah, you'll love it.
Sue's just saying it's the same mindset for sobriety, not shall I or shan't I have a drink. It's just, no, I don't drink. Once I realized this, it was so much easier. Yeah. And you know, on a smaller scale to that, you don't have to go sober to do this, but don't go to the pub and think, you know, oh, I'm probably not going to have that many. No. Go, and before you go, say, I'm having one. In your head, that's a rule. Yeah. You're not having any more. Or I'm going and I'm not having any, but make the decision beforehand and stick to it, and don't give yourself the 2% chance of changing your mind. Like, start, you know, making promises to yourself and actually sticking to them, because the self-confidence and belief that you get from doing that is massive. Like, getting in shape, the best thing that ever happened to me, like, well, or the best thing I ever got from that was, like, when I say I'm going to do something, I do it.
Yeah.
You know, and I can trust myself. It doesn't really matter what you've said to anyone else. This is why, you know, if you change your mind about a goal, fine. But you're not, you know, like, you're changing your mind for you. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. Actually, yeah. If you say, I'm going to get up tomorrow and go to the gym, stop letting yourself down, because then you stop trusting yourself. And when you don't trust yourself, it's really hard to then build that trust again.
Yeah. Hear, hear. Love that.
All right. Let's wrap up, because I have another call.
Okay, and I need a wee. All right, guys, have a lovely weekend. Bye.